Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
None of those yahoos. Seth Dunlap, Scott Alexander, and Mark Menard in for the final hour of the week. It's kind of the final hour of summer break, I guess, for a lot of these guys. Bobby's on vacation. Christian's on vacation because, well, next week it's Saints training camp. Rookies already started training camp yesterday. Lots to talk about next week. We'll have full training camp coverage, 7 days of shows. In fact, we'll have 7 days of shows for you until training camp is over. Even next Saturday, it's Christian and Deuce. On Saturday, 3 to 6, and on Sunday, it's myself and Bobby Hebert. So there you go. It's go time next week. So, Mark, enjoy your weekend. I will enjoy mine. And then you know this. We're into the grind, man. This is the grind. It's our own training camp, I guess, kind of.
It's here. Football, we have made it through the dog days. We have made it through the long drought. And football has finally returned. And I know that the Houdat Nation is ready because they've already sold out a bunch of the training camp practices. Almost all the weekend practices slotted for the Saints training camp have been sold out. Those free tickets, obviously, but already all those have been snapped up. So people are seething out there. They're ready for a little bit of the pigskin.
You know what's interesting? You said dog days of summer. That's usually the case from about mid-June, depending on what LSU baseball does, right? Mid, early June, all the way through July. There wasn't a dog days of summer. Maybe this week and that's it because of what the Pelicans have done. They dominated headlines here locally and really nationally.
The Pelicans have really stepped things up on their summertime news drop this summer for us and really gave us a lot to talk about. And, of course, you also had the Women's World Cup going on with the U.S. taking the championship there. So it was a little bit more than some summers, to be sure, to talk about. But for football fans, you know, it's been a while since the draft, and I think that they're ready.
Yes, they are ready. I will say, Mark, valiant efforts, and some of them worked, in getting Christian to talk about that Women's World Cup, which he should have been talking about, and he actually did. I couldn't believe it. He actually got him to talk it a little bit.
I got him to watch a game with me. That was what shocked me more than anything. I figured he'd begrudgingly talk about it, especially on shows where Bobby was here and Bobby would talk about it. But the fact that he actually watched a game with me, I think it was a semifinal game that he watched with me and was like, hey, you know, this isn't so bad. It's like, yes, yes, this is what we've been telling you for years.
Yes. Just if he gets off the hate train, he'll actually understand that it is a beautiful sport. It's the beautiful game, right?
He's a curmudgeon, and sometimes it takes him a little bit. But, you know, I think we're getting him to come around.
He is kind of, you know, I guess – evolving into or devolving, however you want to phrase it, into the get off my lawn guy a little bit.
He wasn't a basketball guy either when he first started here, and the Pelicans have kind of turned him around on that, especially, you know, the playoff season with Anthony and Drew. He really kind of got into it, and now he's evolved into something of a basketball fan. So I think if we just kept on you know, poking the bear, we might finally get him to come around a little bit more on soccer, too. But we'll see.
There you go. Christian will be back on Monday, next week's Sports Talk. Zach Streif, I think, Monday, Tuesday with Streif. And then Bobby returns on Wednesday as we're out there for the press conferences at Saints training camp. Scott Alexander's in studio with us. And Scott, the British Open the cut was yesterday. And now the cut is today. Well, it was today. Yesterday for across the pond or early this morning, and two guys that did not make it, Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy, they actually had a heck of a second round. We'll start with some sound from him and said, the second round run was pretty special, but just a little bit short. And, well, he's not, because he was one stroke away from making the cut, or I guess one stroke shy. He missed the cut. And a hometown guy, this was one of his home courses, Port Rush in Northern Ireland. But it's over. He did say he did his best, though, and I guess I'm impressed by Rory's positive attitude after all this.
I'm sorry. I'm going to say that how many times in a major have you seen a guy shoot a 65 on a Friday and not make the cut?
Not often.
I mean, and Rory, two things I just got out of that. One from his interview yesterday, and that he's losing his Irish accent. I mean, it used to be so thick. I mean, you can still tell he's from Ireland probably, but he's losing that. But yesterday, you know, he was playing this self-deprecating, you know, oh gosh, I hope my friends,
right.
my friends still want to be friends with me after I get back and have a drink at the pub with them. I think they will. And I'm like, you knew he's going to come back. And listen, it would have been great for golf if he had come back and made the cut. But it was a thrilling day for him, and I'm happy for him because he's one of the good guys on the tour.
Yeah, it seems like it. He also said he did his best. Another guy having to dust himself off is Tiger Woods. Outside of Augusta, we've told you, it's been not great at times in these majors for Tiger Woods, and just another bad major event for Tiger. He also, again, missed the cut. Yeah, what do you make of Tiger Woods' year? Won Augusta, but disappointing the rest of the year, I would say.
Listen, he won't remember these cuts. He's going to remember Augusta. Usually, as athletes, you remember, unfortunately, the things that you almost made, but you didn't even make the cut. He would remember more if he finished second and missed the putt to make go into overtime. He won Augusta when people were beginning to think there was no way he was going to win another major. So when he looks back to 19, that's all he's going to remember. I won the Masters that year. Listen, the guy, you can get some odds on him finishing in the top 25 almost every tournament now. So that's pretty much where you're at with Tiger. I mean, he won something that maybe the few diehards expected him to win in the Masters at some point. But to win a major is so hard, and to not make the cut two times after, yeah, it's disappointing. He's won every major. We know that. But to not make it in two tournaments, particularly the U.S. Open, where he's really excelled, that he's won, it does hurt. But listen, in about 4 weeks, particularly in about 3 months, he's going to look back and like, I won the Masters this year. Mm-hmm. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, three golfers from the United Kingdom littered atop the top of the leaderboard. Shane Lowry, who is from Northern Ireland, I believe. Maybe he's not in the UK. Maybe he's Ireland. Shane Lowry, anyways, he's tied for first at 8-under with American J.B. Holmes. Right behind them, one stroke behind at 7-under. Two British golfers, Tommy Fleetwood and Lee Westwood. I will say this. I always love the more difficult courses, Scott, when I'm watching this. I like when professional golfers struggle, not when they're shooting consistently 8-9 under around.
I mean, listen. I mean, that rough, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you just overshoot the green, and you can't even see the ball. I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't know how they hit out of that, but you got the Fleetwood and the Westwood right there. I'm a big Tommy Fleetwood fan. I like his demeanor on the course. I like watching him. He seems to be having a good time. But you're talking about what happened to David Duval yesterday. Listen, David Duval was at the top. I mean, before Tiger made his run, David Duval was considered one of the top two or three in the game for a few years there with Greg Norman. And to see how he struggled. We all talk about the 79 and 78 that Rory and Tiger shot yesterday. Dude, he was 20 over. I mean, he had 14 on one hole, and it's just wild because, you know, that's the game of golf. He shot a 90, and this was guy that was – people forget him because Tiger's run was so long, but David Duval was the king of golf, like I said, for about 2 or 3 years.
I do want to take it back. It wasn't Northern Ireland. Shane Lowry's from Ireland, not Northern Ireland, so there you go. But Lowry tied with J.B. Holmes, the American, for the lead. When we come back, David Kamens, host of the Golf Pod on – Believe Podcast will join us to break down what's happening over there at the Open as we continue on Sports Talk. I know Mark Menard's excited. San Diego Comic-Con going on right now. I'm seeing all sorts of stuff on Twitter. Game of Thrones panel happening right now. We'll be checking that out, no doubt about it. Talking the Open, the British Open, and not a good day for... Well, not a good tournament, as they missed the cut for Rory McIlroy or for Tiger Woods. Let's bring on in David Kamens to talk about it, host of the Golf Pod on the Believe Podcast Network. He's on Twitter, at Believe Podcast, B-L-E-A-V Podcast. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
Doing well. You know, getting my rest when I can, watching this early morning golf.
Yeah, well, it's been starting about 12:30 Central Time. I guess that'll be what 1:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Dave, it's a little different. You got to make your job a little difficult.
Yeah, but I love it. I mean, this is I've played golf in Western Ireland and a little bit in Northern Ireland. I haven't played Port Rush, but it's oh my gosh, I love it so much. And it's this is a track I need to go play. That's how I feel about watching this championship.
Let's start with the bad first. The two headliners of this and the favorites, according to Vegas, coming into this was Rory McIlroy, his home country, one of his home courses. It just did not go well, even though he shot a spectacular 65 today, still missed the cut. What went wrong for Rory, especially on that day one?
Well, it's a little bit of a pattern where he just doesn't start well. This was excessively bad, right? But he doesn't start well, and then he rallies and gets more comfortable, and then you know, gets back in contention. That's not a pattern that he does all the time. He's won two different majors by 8 shots, but of late, it's not good. He's definitely finds a way to put pressure on himself, and this week was incredibly understandable. You know, he's staying at his parents' house. This is an area in which he grew up, not necessarily directly on this golf course, but when you've shot 61 on a golf course at age 16, there aren't going to be expectations when the Open Championship comes back to that course. So I feel for him. I felt for the pressure he felt and being pulled in 7 different directions. But what a move today. What a great attempt at making it all the way back to making the cut. I thought that was remarkable. I just I feel for him. And I'm glad that Shane Lowry at least is in contention and that there's an Irish flag still flying.
Yeah, there you go. There is. Tiger Woods, just another bad performance at a major. Anything outside Augusta, it seems like he's struggled mightily in recent years. And it almost seemed like, Dave, that he was resigned from the get-go that, hey, this isn't going to be my tournament, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I definitely got that sense on Tuesday. He was more or less making excuses already. He mentioned he had to try and go find it a little bit on the range on Wednesday, which is highly unusual. And even more so, I think he was setting us up for this when he said, I've got a funny story for you. On Tuesday's press conference, he never says that. So he was being endearing, really as nice as possible, which was almost readying us for this failure, I felt. But look, yeah, you're right. I think it is physical. A lot of it, his neck has been bothering him. He hasn't been able to play as much. Anybody that's going to contend this week, and it's showing out in the first 2 rounds for the most part, they've been over in Europe for a week or two. They've acclimated. You know, Tiger flew in on Saturday, I think, at the earliest. So it's just it's excuses. He's talking about a lot of travel. That was a little much today in the post game. You know, talking about all the travel he's had to do, go over to Thailand and then come over here. He's on a private jet. I mean, I'm just not crying for him on this front, but it's most pain is self-chosen, as we know, brother, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah. Talking to Dave Kamens, host of the Golf Pod on the Believe Podcast Network. So top of the leaderboard, you got Shane Lowry. You also have J.B. Holmes, the American from Kentucky, who only has 1 tour win in the last 4 years, although they did come this February in the Genesis Open. It seems like maybe he is set for a Cinderella kind of run this weekend.
Yeah, a little bit. First of all, I love a guy that wears a black glove, don't you? It's sort of like Johnny Cash.
Right.
Yeah, he's been near the top of the game, and he does have these lulls. And he came out of a lull recently. You're right, Genesis Open, beginning of the year, I saw him play in person here at Riviera, and it was a masterful performance. It's a great classic track, and he beat a great field. And then he misses like 6 straight cuts. So, I mean, I've always felt like the pros that aren't the very top of the line, I've seen it with my own eyes, right? The very top players, they play well or decently all the time. Then there's the guys in the J.B. Holmes category. They're terrific golfers, world class, but they're second tier as far as professionals. And those guys get hot for 5 weeks. I guarantee you he's going to be a factor in the World Golf Championship and in the upcoming playoffs, because he's got it. He found a something, and he's going to run with it. So will he last this week? I don't think so, personally. I think the seasoned guys like certainly major champions like Koepka and Spieth are going to make a run. I do think that Lowry will hang on, but that's for other reasons. Yeah, and by the way, if I may, just one PS on Tiger. He'll be back at Augusta. He will perform well at Augusta and damn well threaten to win that thing once again. That's the kind of place where year after year, you know, he'll be able to perform if he's at all physically ready. So I'm not casting him off as to never be a champion again.
No, I don't think anybody would do that, but it's just the reality of what he's done on these other tournaments. Dave Kamens, host of the Golf Pod on the Believe Podcast Network. Dave, get some rest. We got to cover this thing early in the morning, all right?
Yeah, right on it. Thanks a lot.
Okay, go listen to that podcast. Again, Believe Podcast Network, and you can follow him on Twitter, at Believe Podcast. That's B-L-E-A-V Podcast. You know, it's interesting, J.B. Holmes, Scott, he, in 2016, he got fairly close to winning a couple of majors. It's what they've been talking about. I think fourth in one, third in another, but he would be the ultimate Cinderella story in this.
Yeah, he would be. I had a couple really good legitimate questions for him, but he ran long on that one. We'll talk about it maybe a little bit later.
Okay, we will when we come back. It's Scott Alexander, Seth Dunlap, and now final half hour of the show. It's your show. 504-260-1870. That's the phone number. Area code 504-260-1870. Our text line is 870-870. Here's a quick text from the 504. Hey, guys, I'm a fan of Tiger. Looks like there's about 185 players trying to make the cut. Yes, he had a bad weekend, but so did 100 other golfers. That is true. Back after the news. Seth Dunlap, Scott Alexander back on Sports Talk. And Scott, it's interesting that you won't see Tiger, won't see Rory at the top of these leaderboards. There are a bunch of Americans near the top of the leaderboards. We were talking about this off the air just now. And Brooks Koepka's again lurking. It's amazing. Yes, it's just a couple of years that he's been doing this, but you can almost, forget pencil, you can almost Sharpie him in to the top of these major event leaderboards.
It's been unreal. I mean, literally, if you talk the last 2+ years, 10 events, he's won 4 of them, I believe. I didn't even look this up. I think that's about right. Maybe it's 11, maybe. But he's won 4 of them, and he's always a good bet to finish in the top 5. You didn't have heard of him 3 years ago. Unless you were deep, deep into golf, you never heard of him. Jordan Spieth was the guy that everybody was talking about as the next Nicholas. Jordan Spieth had won a couple tournaments. He always was up there. You could have got him at 30-1 in this tournament. And he's lurking. He's tied with Koepka right now, who was the favorite or one of the co-favorites in this. And they're tied. They're both only 3 back. And you got, if you're looking at Americans, you also have the guy that we keep waiting to win a major. He's that one year. Remember, he finished top 5 in all 4 majors, Ricky Fowler. He's only 5 strokes back, right with another American, Dustin Johnson. So it'll be fun. Listen, I like golfers, whether you're American or not. I like watching Ryder Cup. That's always fun competition. The Americans haven't done so well lately. And big events, and particularly tough courses like this, whenever you get to the British Open, they're fun for me because it makes these studs look like the rest of us.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And there's a lot of guys in this leaderboard that have been on that Ryder Cup on the opposite side of the Americans. You see Tommy Fleetwood, Lee Westwood is there, Justin Rose, 3 Brits. They're all in the top 5. And then, like you said, Koepka, Spieth, another American, Andrew Putnam.
Tony Finau's been playing great golf for the last 2 years as well.
That's right, a great point. Yeah, they're all those guys are 5 under and 3 strokes back. Well, Finau is actually a 4 under, so 4 strokes back. Let's go to the phone lines. Mike and Metter, you want to talk a little golf with us? What's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to – I don't know if you saw this video that was posted that I saw over the week with Tiger practicing at the Open. It was an empty range. It was raining, it was pouring, just Tiger Woods in the range, and it was packed with the grandstands of people watching, and I think that's just special, and I don't know if you saw this video, it was something that is just tells the tale of Tiger Woods, and I just really hope that people catch on to Brooks Koepka with the same phenom, which I don't think will happen for some time, but on the course track that Brooks is going on, hopefully he'll get there, but it's a video that I welcome everyone to try to look up. Nobody on the range, just Tiger, and the fascination from all the fans. It was packed. It was pretty neat little video.
Yeah, that's what Tiger brings to golf, Mike.
True rock star, and I love the call. I do love that call. True rock star in every sense of it. I've been to the 11 Masters, and I was living in Atlanta at the time. It's unbelievable when you see him, but Koepka, I'm going to say this because I have a kid in college who plays a lot of golf. Koepka is the Tiger Woods right now with that set because he started getting good when my son got to college and he was already playing golf before. And that group, when they all came down for the Zurich, his friends, they could not – it was like if I had met Muhammad Ali as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was like for Pistol Pete Maravich, which I eventually got to. But it was like that for these kids. So he's on his way to rock star status. We talked about this off air. You have to do it for 6 years for me to – at least get there, because we saw what Spieth was doing for a while. He was unstoppable, but you haven't heard a ton from him. And let's hope Koepka can do it, because he's got magnetism. He's fun to watch, and he's a great. He comes back from deficits pretty regularly, so it'll be fun to see if he can do it
and
again.
And not that big of a deficit to make up here, only three strokes behind the lead. Text from the 504, thank you for discussing golf. Well, you got to discuss it in these events. I mean, you might not be the biggest golf fan, but if you're a sports fan, these are events you got to pay attention
it's
to. That's
sports, man. Yeah. This is like big event. Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
We don't like hockey down here. I mean, we like to go to those old brass games, but they don't follow it. But, man, when it gets to the big events like this, you have to cover it, and you have to follow it. And I'm going to tell y'all out there, watch them, because the drama just is so built up, like it was in the U.S. Open just a few weeks ago on Father's Day. Remember how fun that was at night?
Well, I mean, come on, man. The tennis tournament last week.
Wimbledon was unbelievable.
That final between Federer and Djokovic was maybe the greatest final of all time, one of them.
That was phenomenal.
Yeah.
The semifinal, though.
Oh, Nadal?
Nadal mm-hmm. and Federer was unbelievable. I mean, I must say one of the top three matches I've ever seen. I watched a ton of tennis. I used to 1980. I remember exactly where I was in the War of 1816 when you had to win by two to win it in the fifth. This is the first year you didn't have to do that, and that was probably going to go on forever if they didn't have to do that tiebreaker at 12-all. But that and the Federer-Nadal in 2008 are probably the three best tennis matches I've ever seen.
It was incredible last week. I was kind of glued to my TV. Actually, I think I was watching it on my phone at that point. 504-260-187 if you want to hop on in. Look, it's open lines. We can talk about anything. Saints training camp opening up. Talked a lot about that. LSU Media Days, or SEC Media Days, in the books. The media poll was out. LSU picked to finish second in the SEC West, third in the SEC. Of course, Alabama and Georgia, the top two, expected to take home a championship. Mark, you said this. I don't have it in front of me. How many LSU guys in the preseason all-SEC team?
Eight. You had eight total. You had three first-teamers. Lloyd Cushenberry, Rashard Lawrence, and, of course, Grant Delpit. And then you had second teamers, Christian Fulton. Christian Fulton on the second team along with Damian Lewis. And then third teamers, Justin Jefferson, Jacob Phillips, and Joe Burrow.
There you go. I saw a stat with where these players from on all SEC team, which state are they from. Alabama actually had the most with, I believe, 14 guys all SEC preseason.
Let me correct myself. 3 hours and 40 minutes. I haven't done this kind of radio in a long time. I had a brain fart. It was, of course, Djokovic and Federer in the final. The other one, the semifinal, was only four sets.
That's what I was thinking. Okay, yeah. I was wondering there. I thought we were on the same page.
I literally had a brain fart, but I watched all 5+ hours of that Djokovic-Federer match. And
it was the greatest match I've ever seen.
It was phenomenal. But it is still, that's the one I was talking about, as top three of all time. It might be the best. I mean, it's certainly in the category.
It's the best, at least, in I think, of my professional life and when I've really been paying attention to the sport in the last, 15, 20 years. That's just, I don't know, one man's take here on the radio. You know what it is today as well, Scott? Are you a man of history? Or are you a man
Love it.
It is the 50th anniversary of the moon landing today.
But, dude, let me say this. I tweeted this the other day, or maybe it was Facebook. I hate to admit this, that I remember vividly where I was watching 50 years ago when that happened. I was almost four, and I'm embarrassed to even say that. I remember that's the first time I can say I remembered something vividly from 50 years ago. I was at preschool. It was a summer camp thing, and that's kind of crazy. I am old, but it was fun to watch then, and it was fun to watch all the shows about it this week because I watched every one of them.
It's Bobby Hebert somewhere certainly talking about this, and T-Bob, they're the history buffs. I think every kid my age, almost everyone, I wonder if you were the same way, we're in different generations, wanted to be an astronaut. Right? When we had these classes when you're in preschool or kindergarten, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And most people would say an astronaut.
That was certainly one of the key ones. Either that or lead singer Kiss. I mean, one of the two. It was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. So, the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. Pretty special. And Elton John, who you're going to go see this biopic, right? The biopic this weekend.
Finally,
right?
I'm going to go Sunday, I believe. I've been wanting to do it. I saw the day that Bohemian Rhapsody came out. I went and got to the IMAX, and I was a big fan of both Elton John and Queen in the 70s. Huge. Had all the albums back in the day. Still listen to them all the time. So, yeah, I'm going on Sunday. And tonight, I'm going to go home and watch, actually, Bohemian Rhapsody again, because it's now on cable.
Yep.
And on HBO, and I taped it, so I'm looking forward to seeing that one again.
Yeah, it's music. Is it biopic or biopic? I never get this. I always say biopic, right?
But I mean,
But I guess the nerds say biopic, and I'm a nerd, but I don't say
I've heard it both ways, and I always find myself alternating
biopic's
between the two.
Probably the word, though.
It probably is. I don't
know.
Biopic
Americanizing makes more sense, correct? I mean, right? It's a biography.
Yes, I think it does. Elton John taking us to break, 50th anniversary of the moon landing. But I'll tell you, you know what I missed today here? And you told me this, and I've been upset about it for about 3.5 hours now, Scott. I did not know that Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul were in the city today at the big bartending festival that's going on. They have a new whiskey,
Tales
I believe.
Tales of the Cocktail thing, right? It's, yeah. They're at the Napoleon House.
And they were serving drinks, man.
You're a big fan.
I'm a huge fan.
I sent you that link. The Redhead Tsunami sent it to me. And I didn't even know what a big fan you were, but he has been talking about this every break. I just thought it'd been novel to go over there.
Yeah.
I wish I had known, but obviously you care even more than I do.
Well, here's the thing. We're all Breaking Bad kind of fans here. Mark has watched it too. This is how big of a fan I am. I have driven through Albuquerque 3 or 4 times on road trips back to the West Coast. Every time I try to stop somewhere different, that's where they film Breaking Bad, whether it's Los Pollos Hermanos or Walter White's house there. Walter White's house is pretty cool. They even had to put up like a security fence. People were throwing pizzas on her roof, if you've seen that show before. So, yeah, I'm a Breaking Bad fanatic.
You're big.
They're doing a movie that has been confirmed. I believe they're in pre-production right now. But missing an opportunity to go and get a drink from Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul at the Napoleon House here in New Orleans, man. You know how bummed I am? Like, I might as well just go home and end my weekend right now. I'm just going to, you know, just
how classic would that have been? That is like, you know, one of the most classic bars in our town. It's been around for centuries. I mean, it's been around for a couple.
One of the oldest in the world.
I know Lafitte's the oldest, but this is a little, yeah, so that would have been really cool to see them. They have their new tequila. I don't even know the name of it. It's a mezcal tequila, right?
I think it's called mezcal. Let's see here. I'm trying to, hombres mezcal. Dos hombres mezcal. I guess that's like Los Pollos Hermanos, little prayer.
There it is.
The Mezcal Brothers. Yeah. Right. There you go. I don't know.
I might have to get some after the show. 4 hours is tough.
Yeah, that's true. The other crazy thing, I know we're getting a little off topic here, but I just saw some crazy things today. So you heard of this place called the Shake Shack?
Yeah.
So the Shake Shack opened in Metairie. And the only reason I bring this up is everybody was tweeting out these pictures of people lined up around the block in the 95-degree weather, 110, 107-degree, I guess, heat indexed, to get a burger and shakes from a new place. I mean, that place, I've never been to a Shake Shack. It must be really good. It obviously is if you have this people, many people lined up. Let me ask you this, guys. For whatever restaurant it is, you could name the restaurant, name your pick of a restaurant. Would you wait outside? Some people were lined up at 6:30 a.m. this morning. Would you line up outside for any restaurant in the 105-degree heat index, 110-degree heat index to go get a meal?
It can be perfect weather. I'm not lining up for a restaurant ever.
Oh, okay.
Ever. I just don't. Do it. There's too many good places. Shake Shack is fabulous. I've had them in Austin. I've had them in Nashville. It's a great place. It's not worth lining up that long for, but you'll love it when you go.
Yeah, but I'm not lining up. What about you, Mark?
If the wait is longer than an hour, then we're leaving.
I mean,
than an hour? That's too.
So what? Okay, what about Giacomo's then? So that's somebody you have to wait, right? That's the place you have to wait.
I've been there once, and we made reservations.
Well, they take reservations. You must have a big party.
No. Well, this was years ago. So I don't know. Maybe they don't take them anymore.
Well, maybe you're just special.
They used to take them, yeah. But yeah. What I love about Jacques, he'll call it like it is. Because I remember I was in there, had a reservation, and I was waiting to get sat, and the Hornets coach happened to show up. I think it was Brian Hunter, whatever guy.
At that point, probably, yeah.
Is that his name? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, there's a table. It's my table. No, the Hornets coach is in. No offense. He's important. I was like, what? You're not supposed to actually tell me
that.
Yeah,
I know. But at least he's up front.
He was
honest.
Up front. Yeah. I had to laugh.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Here's a text from the 504. I think this is at me. You're old. Wow. Yeah. I'm feeling older, I guess. Yeah. Feeling over every day, especially with what I went through. I was at the doctor's office all the time a couple of weeks ago. It was crazy. Now, you also, you've been...
I saw your thing on Twitter or Facebook. No, I thought that was real because I hadn't seen you in a couple months, dude. I swear to goodness. You You had like the old look, and I'm like, God, yeah. He's had a rough summer. Does he have cancer? Oh, no, I felt terrible. You did the face app
thing, which, let me just say this to all the face app haters. Yes, I understand the backlash because apparently, a Russian guy owns the company, although his servers are not in Russia, which is, it seems like, you don't really have anything to worry about there. I have given away my information to Amazon and Time Warner and Walmart and Cox and Comcast and T-Mobile and Electronic Arts and everybody else across. And now I'm supposed to be mad that this company has my info? Like, really? I'm supposed to be mad about that now? Come on. But what you're talking about is, yes, I actually did it twice. I did one old face app pick, and then I did, like, the double face app pick, which did not look good. I looked like something, Tales from the Crypt. I looked like a Crypt Keeper there.
You look distinguished. I just said, did I? I saw him at the Zion Williamson thing. He got old really quick. It hit me. I didn't know what the face app was at the time. And then I started everybody else.
That's so funny.
Seth went on vacation and came back as Sam Waterston. Somehow.
Yeah, I did kind of look a little bit. Yeah, my second one I did, the super old one, looked a little like Sam Waterston. The first one, I tell you, it looks like my dad a lot.
Oh, why?
A lot. And then my mom, that's the first thing my mom said. I had a different picture when I was at my house, and I did kind of a different angle with my phone. And I sent it to all my family, and I said, guess who's in town? And everybody goes, wait, what? Where'd you get this picture of dad? And I'm like, that's me. That's apparently me. And yes, my dad looks very distinguished himself. So I wouldn't mind looking like my dad in 40 years or whatever that app ages you. 504-260-1870. Our text line is 870-870. One more segment here before the weekend on Sports Talk. Wrapping up the show here, Friday edition. That's it for us this week on Sports Talk. Next week it will be, Saints training camp. Talk all week long. Christian will be back. He'll be with Zach Streif the first couple of days of the week on Monday and Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, we've got the press conference out at Saints training camp. Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis, and everybody. And we'll be covering that live. Bobby and Christian will be out doing Sports Talk live from Saints training camp. And they'll be there the rest of the week. And pretty much the rest of training camp doing shows out there. I'll be back on my night shift, the last lap, 8 to 11 p.m. on WWL. And then we'll have shows on the weekend. Next Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m., it's Christian and Deuce. Next Sunday, it's going to be myself and Bobby Bear from 3 to 6. Scott Alexander's been alongside, host of Primetime Sports on WLAE and CST Television. That returns this fall. And Scott, these are always fun with you, man.
I love everybody at WWL. We've been kind of doing this for a few years now, but I really enjoy you. You're very easy to do a show with. You're fun to talk to. You know your sport's cold, and your delivery's as good as anybody. So I feel it's an honor every time you ask me. So I appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. And look, with this Pelican season we're going to have, you and I are, we're basketball fanatics. We're going to be doing a lot more of these, I think.
I'm so happy they got a couple of good veterans to mix in with these young guys. Drew, JJ, and Derek Favors are going to be fun to help bring these other guys along. It's going to be fun. Don't expect 50, 60 wins. Just watch this team grow and mature. That's what's going to be fun about it. They're going to be exciting to watch.
I don't know if I've ever asked you about this, actually. How stunned were you when JJ Redick signed here?
I was stunned at first, but you got to know, I recruited Redick pretty heavily when I was an agent. I was at the game when he broke Johnny Dawkins' record, Duke's highest-scoring player ever. So I know his parents pretty well. They're very down-to-earth. The money's not the thing with them. I figured rings would be important because, remember, he didn't get that at Duke when LSU shut him down in 06. They were expected to win it all that year. But the fact is, I wasn't shocked when I thought of one thing, and it only took me about 2 minutes to think about it, Trajan Langdon. Mm-hmm. Because I used to do a show back in the day where we bring the top players around the country. We brought him in from Alaska in the late 90s, and he was the Alaskan assassin. Well, JJ grew up watching him, and JJ was only a few years behind him, so he looked up to him. So I guarantee you that played a huge part. Zion going to Duke played a huge part. And then the him having known Gentry and liked Gentry, all that played a part in this. So I'm just ecstatic about what he can bring. Listen, he's not going to be an all-star anything this year, but he brings stability in that locker room, and he brings a guy that can make shots when Zion and all them crowd the court up.
Okay, one-word answer, and we're not going to hold you to this. We're just going to hold you to this today. I want you on this, Mark, as well. Pelicans make the playoff, yes or no?
Me first?
Any of you first.
I'm going to say yes, they squeak in at 8.
Now that's more than one word, Mark. It's more than one word.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
What about you, Scott?
I mean, you know, I'm the optimistic guy, so I'm going to say yes, but it's going to be no because they're not going to make the playoffs. They're going to be exciting I hope they make the playoffs. But if you have, my head has to come off if the answer is right or wrong, no.
Okay. And by the way, this is very – you guys are radio guys. One-word answers into 20. I'm going to say I'll just say yes.
You're
yes.
trying to get ratings. Okay, yes.
Yes.
Yes,
yes
across
yes,
the board.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yes, yes.
I actually feel the same way Scott does. I think they're going to win around 40, 41 games, but playoffs in the West, it's going to be hard.
Tomorrow, remember, if you've been missing Paul LaGrange, Home Improvement Show is back tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you had flooding in your home or office from barrier damage from rain or wind, Paul can help. That's tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the Home Improvement Show. Big thanks to Scott Alexander sitting alongside. Thanks to Mark Menard and all of our guests, Dave Kamens, Bobby Hebert for calling in, Kyle France, and Jake Madison. If you missed any of the show, you can get it via the podcast and on demand at WWL.com, radio.com app, and Apple Podcasts. Thanks to Diane Newman, our program director, Steve Geller, our producer, Todd Manessis, and Helen Centani for hanging out. I'm Seth Dunlap. Follow me on Twitter at Seth Dunlap. We'll keep the conversation going this week. Scott, we'll see you next week.
Have a great weekend.
All right. Adios.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.